الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders, honorable members of the congregation, brothers and sisters who may possibly be listening as well, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity every Friday to discuss some aspects with regards to our spirituality, with regards to our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the more you ponder and reflect over it, the more intrigued you become over what sort of a system Allah ta'ala has put into place. Which other nation has got this sort of system that we can get some spiritual nourishment for the rest of the week? So it is intriguing, it's amazing. And every one of the Jumu'ah lectures that we attend, they benefit us, even though we might not remember what we heard last week. Just like how we don't remember what we ate last night for supper, but it still benefited us and it nourished us. Just like that, our Jumu'ah lectures are the spiritual nourishment and food that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put into place for us to get. And the most difficult thing that I find now in terms of a Jumu'ah lecture is not the venue that I'm going to be speaking out at. It is about what should the topic be that we should be addressing. And after much thought and reflection over certain verses of poetry and one particular quotation of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, I thought that the topic of discussion in today's Jumu'ah should be realigning our life on earth. Recalculating the old garments, they used to say. When you take a wrong turn, they used to say recalculating route. Nowadays, Google Maps and Apple Maps, they do it quietly. They just change the route for you and you have to go on that particular route then. But recalculating our route on earth. Because many a times we forget what our goal is, what our objective is, what our purpose in life is. And we very quickly say that our objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we go about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the things that we need to be doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are things that we don't give much thought to, and therefore we get caught up once again in the rigmarole, in the rat race, chasing our tails, and we don't truly understand what our objective and purpose in life is. And towards the end of this particular Jumu'ah discussion, I want to discuss some verses of English poetry, which a young alim from Johannesburg put together after last week's Jumu'ah Bayan in Johannesburg. But they have got, it is so thought-provoking, that we must try and internalize it and externalize it through our actions. So the quotation of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh that inspired me today was one of the things that he said, and he mentioned it many times, and many in this particular masjid would remember it. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh would say, do for Allah's pleasure and He will grant you from His treasure. Do for Allah's pleasure and He will grant you from His treasure. And wallah, this is so, so deep. It is absolutely deep that we do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reminds us, it takes us back to what our objective, what our purpose in life is, what everything we are doing, we should be doing because of. This one statement takes us there. And another verse of Urdu poetry that inspired me to speak about recalculating our life on earth is a verse of poetry of one of the khulafa of our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, in which he said, ghar mein daftar mein ya dukaan mein hai, jo jahan bhi hai imtihan mein hai. Ghar mein daftar mein ya dukaan mein hai, ghar mein daftar mein ya dukaan mein hai, jo jahan bhi hai imtihan mein hai. Rukh badalne mein der mat karna, rukh badalne mein der mat karna, teer ab tak teri kamaan mein hai. He said that ghar mein, daftar mein ya dukaan mein hai, wherever you might be, at home, in your office, in your shop, at the airports, wherever you might be, jo jahan bhi hai, imtihan mein hai. Whoever is wherever, he is in an examination room. He is in an examination room. Whichever condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us in, we are under surveillance like a person is under surveillance in an examination room. And he says, Rukh badalne mein der mat karna. Don't delay in changing your course, in changing direction, in recalculating your route, in realigning your goals and objectives. Don't delay in doing that, because teer ab tak teri kamaan mein hai. Your arrow is still in the bow. It hasn't left the bow yet. Once it leaves the bow, and it leaves the bow right when you are in the throes of death. So until we have life, we have opportunity to recalculate, to change, and to reach our goals and objectives. And the reality and the fact of the matter is that Allah doesn't ask us whether we reached our goal or objective. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of us is that we made an effort to walk in that direction. That is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us. Because the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited, because Allah is unlimited. La mahdud. And for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He ought to have been worshipped is impossible. The Nabi, our Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma abadnaka حق عبادتك وما عرفناك حق معرفتك. We can never, because all of our actions are limited, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Himself, He is unlimited. So there is no way we are ever going to ever be able to reach our destination here in this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this test. Our job and our destination is to just tire ourselves. Tire ourselves in trying to reach the destination. That is what our goal and what our objective is, to reach our destination. So whatever we do in our worldly life, whatever we do for Allah's pleasure. Maulana Yunus Patel Saab's quote is not a specific quote that you must pray for Allah's pleasure and He will grant you from His treasure. Do for Allah's pleasure and He will grant you from His treasure. And therefore we learn from this, that when we do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a Muslim, and a mu'min, and a believer, and a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he does in his worldly life is supposed to be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he does. So if he is studying as a student, he is studying for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is undertaking his profession, be it in the medical field, legal field, accounting field, teaching field, or he's an alim and he's doing his ulama related work, all of it must be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the professions that we run, the shops that we open for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Just to earn money, just to open our shops or go to our practices merely to earn money is a very low intention. Money, whatever money we are supposed to earn, has been already decreed for us and written for us, and somehow or the other it will come to us. And what is not written for us, it will be taken away from our hands and we won't even know and realize it. That is our iman and our yaqeen. لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك. The Quran says, we don't ask you for risk and sustenance. We give you risk and sustenance. ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. I don't want risk and sustenance for you, from you. Although we are living in a world of means and we have to adopt those means. So we have to do those things. But whatever we do only to earn money is a very, very low intention. Recently I heard a speech of my Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, and he's 80 years of age. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him long life and good health. Really, he is the crown on our heads and the necklaces around our necks. That is the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And those who know him know what a busy person he is and how much of, at the ripe old age of 80, how much of effort he is making for this ummah. And together with that, he does a lot of other things. He runs his business also. He runs a business. A publishing house he runs. And he is the rector of Darul Ulum Karachi. And he is the chairman of the accounting and auditing organization for Islamic financial institutions, and he is on Fiqh Academy's global institutions, and he's here and he's there and he's everywhere. And he mentioned in this talk of his that I have never in my life ever done anything from the time I became of age until now to earn money. Although of course he's running a business, of course that is profitable, but it's not to earn money. And therefore, it takes us back to that quotation of Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi, in which he said that do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Whatever we do, we were speaking about. We spoke about the children who are studying. They must be studying for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about our professions, that we must be doing our professions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must be earning our livelihoods for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. let alone that when we participate in any sort of entertainment, that entertainment must be participated in for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do, not only that, when we bring up our families and we nurture relationships, we have families, we bring up our children, it must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whatever a mu'min and a Muslim and a believer does, he does for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does for the akhirah. We don't do anything for this world and this dunya. Everything that we do is for the akhirah and for the hereafter. And when we make that our yardstick, when we make that our goal, that our objective, then anything, any relationship, any occupation, anything that we do that is going to enhance our akhirat, we will nurture that relationship. We will mend that relationship. We will sacrifice for that particular relationship. We will sacrifice for that particular profession of ours. Why? Because it is beneficial to our akhirat. And if any relationship, any profession, anything that we do causes harm to our akhirat, then we will cut off that relationship. We will not mend that particular relationship. We will not go forward in that particular profession, but because it is going to harm our akhirat. And that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this beautiful, beautiful hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Jawami'ul Kalim, one whose words were very concise, extremely concise. Sahaba used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulallah, awsini wa awjiz, idhni wa awjiz. Ya Rasulallah, give me advice, but make it very concise and short. Outwardly, it seems as though it is a very uncouth comment. You're asking for advice and then you're putting a condition that you must make it short also. But the objective there was something else. It wasn't only to entertain our ears and listen to a flowery speech and bayan. The objective there was to make amal and implement and practice. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words many a times, most of the time was very concise, but it was deep and profound in meaning. So profound that if an individual were to practice on that advice, that individual would become a better individual. And if he would take that advice to his family, and that family would implement that advice as a family unit, that family would stand out in society. They would become a better family. And if society would practice on that particular advice, that society would become, and if a nation were to practice on that advice, that nation would be the best of nations. And if the world were to practice on that advice, then the world will become a better place for us. Wallah, little bits of advice. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very same thing that Maulana Yunus Patel sahab articulated in his little statement. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba lillah, a person who loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa abghada lillah, and he hates for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot be loving everyone and hating no one. There is no such thing in this world. If we have that sort of slogan or statement, it just cannot happen in this world. And there are people in our times who claim to be Muslims, and their slogan is, and I am speaking about a particular sect that does not believe in the finality of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we need to be aware about this. They say, and you go to their headquarters anywhere in the world, and they say, love for all, hate for none. The Qadiani school. Man ahabba lillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah's pleasure, again, he hates for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a relationship, a bond, a tie that is going to ruin his akhirat, he does not nourish that relationship. He cuts off there and then. He breaks off. I am not for a moment. Sometimes we feel, you see, Maulana said we must cut off relation. We must make every effort, wallah, to mend our relations, particularly within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hatred that we are speaking about is the hatred for the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the ummatis of Rasulullah. This ummah must be one ummah. It must be a united ummah. United we stand, divided we fall. And it is upsetting and it is heartbreaking to see that the ummah, at all levels, there is disunity between scholars of the ummah, and there is disunity between husbands and wives and spouses, and there's disunity between brothers and sisters. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ. If he gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran and the Hadith doesn't only want us to give. There are occasions when we don't give. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. And they don't give also. When they don't give, then they don't give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. This person's iman is now complete. This person's iman is now complete. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam articulated the very same thing in another hadith. He said that, مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُومَهُ هَمَّ وَاحِدَ. Whoever makes all of his objectives, one objective. Again, the same thing. Do for Allah's pleasure. Do for Allah's pleasure. Make your goal one. Make your objective one. Make your purpose one. When you do for Allah's pleasure, مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُومَهُ هَمَّ وَاحِدًا كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ هَمَّ دُنْيَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after everything else. Allah will grant. Is it not the very same thing that Maulana articulated in a small little couplet of his? Do for Allah's pleasure and He will grant you from His treasure. Whoever makes his objective one objective, Allah will look after all of his other objectives. And whoever creates many objectives for himself. وَمَنْ تَشَعَبَّتِ الْهُمُومِ. Whoever creates many branches of objectives for himself, لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ فِي أَيِّ أَوْدِيَةِ الدُّنْيَا هَلَكَ. Allah will not care in whichever valley of this dunya you want to destroy yourself, you can destroy yourself and it will not matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very, very significant. It's very, very important that we must realign our objectives. If our objectives are one, everything becomes rosy and healthy and good. The objectives of our businesses, the objectives of our professions, the objectives of what we do, everything. And when we do all of these things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in different ways, in amazing ways. He guides us, He holds our hands and guides us through the various challenges of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds a person's hand and He guides him through the various challenges of his particular life. When we ponder over all of this, wallah, I think to myself sometimes that life is so very short. There's so much for us to achieve. So much for us to achieve, and there's so little time. There's so little time for us to achieve all of them. Hazrat Maulana Mansurul Haq Sahib Nasir Rahmatullah Alayhi, Damat Barakatuhum, he's ill, very ill. Allah grant him good health and long life and keep his shade over us. But he mentioned beautiful verses of Urdu poetry, which have got profound meaning in it. خدا کے عشق میں قلب ہی جلے ابھی کتنے ہے کرنے تے رہے تقویٰ میں فاصلے ابھی کتنے ابھی تو نفس کے ابھی تو نفس سے خواہش کی بندگی نہیں نکلی ہے کرنے تیرہ تقویٰ میں فاصلے ابھی کتنے. He says ابھی تو نفس سے خواہش کی بندگی نہیں نکلی. Up till now, the slavery of our desires have not come out of us. We live for a fix. We live for a Saturday night, for some sort of entertainment. Just for our entertainment, for our desires. So the slavery of our desires have not even come out. Hekarne tairahe taqwa mein faasle abhi kitne. How many more stations there are after sacrificing our desires to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, therefore brothers, I want for us to recalculate, realign, understand what our goal and objective is in life. It's very important. And then whatever we do, do for Allah's pleasure and He will grant us from His treasure. I promised at the beginning of the discussion today that we will discuss one particular verse, some verses of English poetry. And I'll just read it out. In my Jummah talk last week, I mentioned something very similar, but an epitaph that our English teacher was teaching us in English class. Epitaph is something that they write on the tombstone of a person. And they wrote on that tombstone, Fred had died, and they wrote on his tombstone, here lies Fred, he was alive and now he's dead, and there's nothing more to be said. But years later did we realize that the life of a Muslim and a mu'min and a believer and a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi must not be like the life of Fred. And this particular alim, Maulana Ihsan Wali, a young alim from Johannesburg, the same night or the day after, he sent me, he said, I was inspired by that and I composed some verses of poetry. And I want, because it's so intriguing, there's so much of lesson for us to take from that. He says that, along a path where I once tread, along a path where I once tread, I stumbled upon an epitaph that read, here lies Fred, whose life was brief. He lived, he died, no deeper grief. He walked the earth, then simply fled. And all was silent, nothing said. All was silent, nothing said. But as I stood, a chill did rise. Is this all life? Its only prize? Is that all, that we just bring up our families, we make some money and we live and we die? Huh? Is this all life? Its only prize? A fleeting breath, a whispered name? No echoes left, no lasting flame? Should we not seek a higher aim, to leave behind more than just a name? To fill our days with purpose true, to sow the seeds for others' view, for life's true worth, for life's true worth is found in giving, in touching hearts, in truly living. When the final breath we take, what legacy did we create? So let your deeds like echoes speak. So let your deeds like echoes speak, and build a legacy unique. Live with passion, grace and care, for in others' hearts you linger there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal and bless us to practice these very important things and realign our life, our focus, our objectives in life. Allah remove the pain, the difficulty, the suffering that our brothers and sisters and little children in Palestine are going through. Wallah, it is an occasion that we must do whatever it takes for us to do to help them, to free them. If America has said that they are going to give $20 billion more to participate in this particular genocide, then we must march to the American embassies around the world and register our protest against that. Whatever we can do, we have to do. Whatever we can do. If when it comes to boycott, then we must boycott. There was a company that came to the United Ulama Council of South Africa this week, just this week, to say that this boycott is affecting us like anything, and please can you reconsider? We said, we don't do anything. It's all about, do you condemn Israel? Like how they were asking us in the beginning, do you condemn Hamas? We said, you must just condemn Israel. Muslims will start buying from you again. So these things affect them. And we must do, if not having coke after biryani is not the end of the world, really. But it affects them. And we must do that, if that's the only thing that we can do for our brothers and sisters and little children in Palestine. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.